You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson.
And I'm Chris Molina. Coming up, federal lawmakers have passed competing bills to address the humanitarian crisis at the southern border. We'll look at the details in just a bit.
First, Republicans in the state legislature sent a budget plan to Governor Evers yesterday after the bill was passed. After the bill was passed on a 17-16 vote, Evers can now sign the bill, veto it entirely, or strike down certain parts of the plan.
The bill cut back or removed many of the governor's big budget proposals, including a gas tax increase, a nonpartisan redistricting commission, and taking federal funds to expand Wisconsin's Badger Care program.
Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter. Laurel, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So as we mentioned, this was 17-16, a pretty tight vote in the Senate with two Republicans voting against the bill. What allowed leadership to get other potential holdouts on board and get this passed?
Well, there were a couple changes in the assembly on Tuesday that kind of cleared the path a little bit for the Senate, kind of angled at some of the Republican senators that they weren't sure were going to be on board. Those changes that passed the assembly, one was a study related to mileage-based fees in Wisconsin for road projects, to fund road projects. They made a little tweak there to add tolling to that study language, so that would kind of open up tolling potentially for the future. And then there was another change aimed at a new state senator. He used to be in the assembly, Senator Andre Jacques. They added 35 assistant district attorney positions to the budget. That's something he's pushed for. And then one other element that got a little bit more coverage related to Teslas. It would allow Teslas to be sold directly to consumers in Wisconsin without car dealerships being involved.
Can we take a little bit of a deep dive into that? Because that proved to be a really interesting part of this process. Senator Chris Kapinga was one of the people that has been pushing for direct sales of Tesla cars to be allowed in the state before. It is pretty known that he owns a business that sells Tesla parts. How has he responded to people who have accused him of basically potentially benefiting from this?
He pushed back pretty hard on that yesterday. So he said that it's really sort of a half-truth was the phrase that he used in regards to him profiting from this Tesla language that's in the budget. He said that his business is really more of a hobby. He got involved in getting Tesla cars and kind of breaking them down for parts and rebuilding them a few years ago. He sells the parts that he doesn't need online, he says, and not for much of a profit. As of yesterday, we took a look at his site, which is he links to eBay to sell these parts, and he had things ranging from, you know, $25 to $1,200. But he says when you factor in the amount of time he's putting in and what he pays for the cars to begin with, it's really kind of a loss for him in the end.
Is there going to be any, insofar as you know, any pushback moving forward with this, or is this a one and done with Senator Kapinga moving forward?
Well, there has certainly been some concern raised by folks who believe that it was kind of a trade in terms of getting him to vote for the budget, putting this thing in there where there's the appearance of him personally benefiting. And that's something that, you know, maybe Governor Evers will weigh as he moves forward. He has the budget before him or will very soon officially. So the governor can always make changes, but as of right now, you know, this is outside the legislature's hands, so it's going to stay in there for now.
Republican Senators Steve Noss and David Craig both voted against the bill. What ultimately were their objections?
So they were pretty consistent. The two had a similar argument that they believed it was just too big of a budget, a little too expensive. They were concerned about the fee increases for vehicle title and registration that are included in the budget, as well as property tax increases that are included in the budget. These are two senators that have been pretty consistent in their pushback during the state budget process. They're two of the four that held up budget negotiations 2 years ago, and they had similar concerns then.
We're talking to Laurel White right now. She is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter. She's with us to talk about the state budget that passed yesterday. And let's take a listen really quickly to Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald offering his take on the budget bill that passed yesterday.
We've taken the parameters given to us by the governor and turned his out-of-control spending plan into a responsible budget for Wisconsin. We're borrowing $500 million less than the governor, taxing $1 billion less than the governor, and spending $2 billion less than Governor Evers.
Cost was always a big part of the Republicans' pushback against the budget that they originally got. How are they talking now about the budget that they then sent back to the governor?
So they're really saying that it's a responsible middle ground between what the governor wanted, what he originally introduced earlier this year, and their conservative principles. I think, you know, the way that they're framing it is we've given the governor things that he asked for, but a little bit more, in their opinion, within reason. They have scaled back a number of the governor's proposals, but still included increases for certain things, like K-12 education, for example. They put a $500 million increase in there under the Republican plan. Now, that's substantially smaller than what the governor asked for. He wanted $1.4 billion. And I think that's a pretty good example, just sort of you can draw that across the whole swath of the state budget as a way to sort of say this is what Republicans did in terms of what the governor proposed.
And what was some of the reactions from the Democrats in the legislature to the budget plan that was ultimately sent to the governor yesterday?
So Democrats are really framing this, I think, in two ways. One, they are pretty focused on the things that Republican lawmakers removed from the budget, particularly the Medicaid expansion. That's something that Governor Evers campaigned on. It's something he's spoken about really consistently throughout this budget process, something that he said would save the state $320 million, would bring 82,000 more people onto Badger Care in Wisconsin, leverage more than $1 billion of federal money by his calculations. And Democrats were very consistent in pointing that out, saying it's something the state needed to do, saying it was irresponsible for Republican lawmakers to not do that. So there were certainly those concerns, and they continue to voice those. I think the other way that Democrats are framing the budget, though, interestingly, is saying Governor Evers proposed a plan that had a lot of great things in it, and because he proposed what he did, he moved the needle a little bit for Republicans. So Democrats are saying that Republicans are doing a little bit more than they have in the past, more than recent years, because of the ambitious, wide-ranging budget that the governor put out there.
So it sounds like some of our Democratic lawmakers are looking for a silver lining here in what has been a somewhat contentious budget debate, right?
Absolutely. You know, this is a new process for Wisconsin, or at least, you know, in terms of the last several years, there's been one party in control in the legislature and the governor's office. So this is a little bit of new territory for some lawmakers, having a different party in the executive branch and navigating how they're going to handle that sort of walking the line of compromise, but still getting the votes that they need to pass it through the Republican-controlled legislature.
We're talking with Laurel White right now. She is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter, and she's with us to talk about the budget plan that was passed yesterday that's now headed to Governor Evers' desk.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about the Republican-backed budget that passed yesterday? What issues are important in your part of the state? Is it transportation, education, healthcare, or something else? What do you think Governor Evers should do with the plan now? And if you're a Democrat, would you like to see some vetoes? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org.
We'll continue this conversation after a short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson.
And I'm Chris Molina. We're talking about the state budget bill passed by the state legislature yesterday and what happens now. We're joined by WPR's state capitol reporter, Laurel White.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. If you're a Democrat, what are some of your thoughts on the budget plan that ultimately is heading to the governor's desk? If you're a Republican, are you happy with the budget? What do you think Governor Evers will do? And if you're a Democrat, also, Are you thinking that the governor might veto parts of it? And you can also let us know what budget issues are most important to you so far in the state. Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. And Laurel, right before we went to the break, we started talking a little bit about some of the stuff that ended up on the chopping block. And one of the big contentious issues has been transportation funding. We haven't been able to move the needle too much. Governor Evers originally called for a gas tax increase to pay for road projects. What are we going to actually end up seeing in terms of transportation funding?
So Republicans actually came up with a plan that introduces more new revenue into the state transportation budget than we've had for quite a while. And they're going to do that by raising vehicle title and registration fees. So the fee that you pay the state when you buy a new car or the annual fee that you pay to renew your license. That's going to generate about $393 million in new revenue for the state. So that's something that we have heard positive comments made about from the state transportation secretary, for example. I think this is something that lawmakers and the governor have been pushing for in terms of, you know, getting a little bit more funding in there to do some of these projects. That is, of course, though, different from what the governor proposed, right? As we've talked about, the governor wanted an 8-cent gas tax increase in this budget, which would have generated even more than the $393 million. But ultimately, Republican lawmakers just didn't have the votes to do that for a variety of reasons.
I want to really quickly go to our callers right now. We have Nancy in Milwaukee. Nancy, what did you want to say about the budget?
Well, the very issue that you're discussing right now is the issue that bothers me the most. I live in Milwaukee, and here in this city, we already are paying an additional $10 extra added to the $75 that the state has been asking. So for that to be raised still another $10, and this exorbitant fee, all of these fees just to drive, own, and license a car, I am very angry about this.
Nancy, thank you so much for that call. You know, we're hearing some anger from Nancy about this fee increase. And one of the arguments that Governor Evers made for the gas tax was that it would be more spread out. It would impact people traveling through the state from, say, Illinois. Why ultimately wasn't the sort of shared burden enough of, a push to get Republicans on board with this?
Well, you know, Republicans kind of went back and revisited an argument that we've heard kind of consistently, I think it's safe to say, over this transportation funding debate, which is that the gas tax might not be the most sustainable solution in terms of road funding for Wisconsin. They said that people are moving more toward hybrid and electric vehicles. So down the line, fewer gas purchases in the state will not be providing enough revenue for ongoing projects. So that argument that certainly we have heard from proponents of the gas tax, which is that people from Minnesota and Illinois and others driving through the state use the roads, so they should help maintain the roads, just wasn't compelling enough to get Republicans that control the Assembly and the Senate to pass that increase.
You know, listening to, I'm going to throw this to an odd place, but to the Democratic debates last night, healthcare was one of the biggest topics, and it's been a big issue here in Wisconsin. And we talked a little bit about the fact that the Republicans were not necessarily on board with expanding Medicaid. That's been pretty consistent for the last 8+ years. Why didn't we see, did we see any compromise here in terms of either Medicaid, healthcare coverage in the state, or was this sort of dead in the water?
There was a little bit of compromise. I think, you know, the big overarching thing, the Medicaid expansion, obviously didn't happen in this budget. That's something that Wisconsin Republicans have been opposed to for quite a while now, and they weren't willing to move on that at all. I think Speaker Voss at one point during the budget negotiations said that it would be over his dead body that the Medicaid expansion would be approved. So that certainly didn't happen, but there were elements of Medicaid reimbursements, increases for things like nursing homes, for example, or personal care workers that the governor wanted to put in the budget to increase state support for those things. And Republican lawmakers met him there and actually, in some cases, went a little bit further in the case of both of those things, actually, nursing homes and personal care workers, and put more state money into augmenting those funds than even the governor asked for.
The Republican budget plan, we also mentioned a little bit about education, has $500 million in new state funding for K through 12 education. We know that Governor Evers was looking for more. Public opinion seemed to want more money. Is this just the first step towards a more robust education system, or are we still going to be fighting about this throughout the rest of Governor Evers' term?
I don't think this is an issue that's going to go away, certainly. Obviously, Governor Evers has a strong background in education, serving as the former state school superintendent. This was a really big issue for him in his campaign. You know, he talked a lot about healthcare, roads, and schools. So the education budget that he proposed was a rather large one. He wanted a $1.4 billion increase. He only got $500 million from Republican lawmakers. He wanted $600 million for special education programs in terms of an increase, got about $100 million from Republicans. What Republicans are saying in response to the governor and Democrats saying, you know, you didn't meet the governor on this, is that they believe this investment is still very sizable, it's substantial, it's going to make a difference for Wisconsin schools. And they also point out that this comes on the heels of another pretty substantial increase in the last state budget, which had a $636 million increase for K-12 education.
We've been talking about the legislature itself, but now our attention needs to turn to Governor Evers, who has the option to veto all of the budget or certain parts of the budget. Here's Democratic Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling telling Republicans what she's hoping for.
I am asking the governor to throw you guys a brush back pitch on this budget. You need that. We will see how aggressive he uses that veto pen.
Some anger coming from Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling there in response to the budget that they ultimately voted on. You know, being up at the Capitol, has Evers given any indication whatsoever about what he plans to do next?
He really hasn't. You know, obviously, reporters have been asking the governor for a while what he plans to do with this budget. And pretty consistently, he's said, you know, I'm going to review it when it gets to my desk. We don't know what changes lawmakers are going to make as the process unfolds. Well, now obviously he knows, right? It's passed as of yesterday. He has a pretty solid idea what the document looks like. He tweeted this morning that he is ready for the budget, which is a strong signal. It's interesting. So the way the process works is, now that it's passed both bodies, it has to get some official signatures, and it's enrolled, is what they call it, and then it gets sent to the governor, and that's when he can begin the official review. He tweeted this morning that he's ready for that official process to start, for that budget to get to his desk. So he knows what he's going to do, but we don't know what that is yet.
And what is the timeline? It's heading to him now. We know he's going to review it. When is his due date, I guess?
Mm-hmm. So he has 6 days. Once he gets that official document on his desk, 6 days, not including Sundays, to act on it. So I believe we are expecting the assembly leader to sign the budget tomorrow. He's out of town today, actually touring around the state promoting the budget. So he'll be back. He'll sign it, send it to the governor tomorrow. And if my calculations are correct, that means the governor has until next Friday to act on the bill.
You know, are we seeing Republicans considering this a win? Are Democrats more fired up? What is the temperature up at the Capitol right now?
I think Republicans, you know, I mentioned the speakers traveling the state promoting the budget today. The Senate Majority Leader had a press conference in the Capitol today as well. They're really framing this as a win for everybody. They're saying that Republicans met a lot of the goals that they laid out for the budget, that it's a people's budget, that it's responsive to what Wisconsin voters want. So I think Republicans are very solidly in the this is a win camp. And as I mentioned before, there's an element of that to the Democratic rhetoric as well. They're saying that because of what the governor proposed, it sort of moved the needle a little bit and pushed Republicans to put maybe a little bit more money into some programs than they would have if there wasn't a Democrat in the governor's office. So though Democrats are a little bit obviously concerned about some things that aren't in there, like the Medicaid expansion, there is positive rhetoric about this budget on both sides.
Looking in the very short term, what will you be on the lookout for, I guess, over the next 6 days? And then if we see some fireworks after day six, what happens then?
Well, we're definitely going to be keeping an eye out. It could happen at any point. With the governor signaling today that he's ready for the budget, I would expect him to act kind of sooner in that six-day window rather than later. So we might not have to wait too long to see what he's going to do with this budget. The most, challenging thing for lawmakers that he could do, obviously, is veto the entire thing, mm-hmm. which sort of starts the process back over. I think that would be the biggest firework you could get. So if that happens, we're in for probably several weeks, if not months, of negotiations starting over. If that doesn't happen, it's sure that the governor is going to have some vetoes using his veto pen to take out words and numbers. The Wisconsin governor's veto pen is pretty powerful, yeah. So he can make a lot of changes there.
Yeah, we learned a little bit about that partial veto power yesterday. You know, in the last 45 seconds that we've got left, once the budget process does wrap up, we're expecting the legislature to come back in session this fall. What do you think that they will make one of their big priorities?
Well, there were a number of things, as you mentioned before, that were removed from the budget, and lawmakers have talked about those things coming back in the fall. Their schedule is set to begin again kind of in mid-September. The things that are on my radar are the dark store loophole.
Yeah.
People have talked about that, medical marijuana possibly coming back, and nonpartisan redistricting. Those are all on the radar.
Laurel, thank you so much for that update.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter. She was with us to talk about the budget plan that passed in the state legislature yesterday. Governor Evers now has 6 days to either sign the bill or use his veto powers. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.